Welcome back, Tab, to another episode of Sales with Aslan. It's good to see you, my friend. It's been a while since we were not only in the studio together, but that we were actually hanging out, and I've missed you.
I know. I haven't seen your face in too long. I've been running around doing our thing. But I did. I was just with a new client earlier this week, and people been listening to the podcast. You know, we had people saying, hey, I've really been enjoying it. And
yeah,
I love that. Gets me all excited.
I was ordering a number two the other day at McDonald's, and somebody said, do you do a podcast? Because I think they recognize my voice.
Yeah. Is that the quarter pounder or is that the Big Mac? I can't remember.
Quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah.
Coke Zero. And fries. It's kind of my help. Like when I'm doing the help thing, that's where it's my go-to.
And
sometimes I'll remove
no
the
shake.
Cheese sometime. Okay. No shake.
No ketchup. You cut your ketchup.
No ketchup.
Ketchup and not a Coke and not a shake.
Not a Coke. A Coke Zero,
Zero
fries. And I don't do an extra large fry. I just do fries. And that's kind of that's what I'm doing, like a Whole 30 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, well, it is good to see you. Good to be back in the saddle.
You were in Australia.
I was in Australia. I was down under. I love my friends in Australia. There's some listening to the podcast.
Shout out
to my friends in Australia and my friends in New Zealand. I didn't get to New Zealand, but I had a bunch of friends in New Zealand, and I heard that was the biggest mistake I made, is that I didn't hit New Zealand on the way.
The Kiwis.
It's only a 3-hour flight away, and I've heard it's just fabulous. So.
That's two countries I have not been to.
Great culture. And great Australia. People. Great people. Easy to hang out with. The kind of people you want to drink a beer with, Tom.
I did have to somehow post the picture I got of you at a...
Oh yeah,
and a horse. You were dressed as a horse drinking a beer, I think.
Yeah, a glass of wine. I wish which would have looked a lot cooler if I was drinking a beer, but it was a glass of Pinot. Yeah, but that was my welcome to Australia moment.
Well, that's what you get when you're the world's greatest co-host of a podcast. You get to travel all over the world and share wisdom, tips, and things. So Tab, I'm as always excited about our guest today.
Yes.
There's a real personal connection with our guest today. Through a series of events, not because I'm a great person, but through a series of events, I started serving at the Atlanta Mission, which is a mission for homeless people in Atlanta. And I met this guy there who I was immediately impressed with, and I started getting to know him. Turns out he's a very successful seller with a technology company. And so we became friends. Mm-hmm. So I think we're friends. He may not share that same sentiment or, you know, category.
But he knows you. He actually knows you.
So I get to know him a little bit. I'm like, I love this guy. And then it turns out he started this ministry called Purpose on Tap. So I go to that.
Yeah.
And he's got Jeff Foxworthy speaking. I'm like, who is this guy? And so I basically roped him into joining our podcast. So we're going to hear and meet Calder Justice, who's a super successful guy, but he's doing more than selling. He's giving back. So really wanted to have him on the show. Excited for him. So Calder, welcome to our podcast, my friend. Good to see you.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Tad. Tab, thanks for being here. It's great to be here and excited about this conversation.
Awesome. It's great to meet you.
Thanks for carving out. I know you're busy. So probably a good place to start is just tell us a little bit about what you do in selling. So connect the dots for us. What do you do? Who you work for? What do you sell? You kind of more of a hunter, farmer? Give us some context.
Yeah. Yeah. So I work for a company called Jitterbit. We're a integration platform. I actually started the company almost 7 years ago.
Okay.
And started in our product team. And I'll tell the story later of why I transitioned over into sales, because it's actually related to Foxworthy. I'll talk about that now.
Yeah. So you started off in product. You were a product guy. You were a technology guy.
I had been in product my whole career at the time. And Foxworthy had just spoken at Purpose on Tap for the first time. Now he's done it twice. And I had a meeting with my boss, who was the SVP of engineering and product.
Okay.
And I had to cancel the meeting with her at the last minute because we had a lunch with the next speaker of Purpose on Tap, who at the time was running for governor for the state of Georgia. And when I told my boss, I said, hey, I'm sorry, I got to cancel. I can't make this time today. She said, well, I hope you're having lunch with somebody important because you're canceling on me. And I was like, oh, well, actually, yeah, he's running for the for governor for the state of Georgia. And she said,
she said, lunch with the governor.
Yeah. And she's like, all right.
I get a dime for every time I hear that.
Yeah. So when I told her that, she said, all right, that's it. Why are you not in sales? And she said, yeah. I don't want to kick you off my team. You know, I'm not trying to get rid of you, but I don't understand why you're not in sales. She said, you know, started to talk about these things that I've been doing in the past with Purpose on Tap. And she said, what's your excuse or what's your reason? I said, well, I actually don't have one. Maybe I'm scared of failure.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay.
No place to hide in sales.
Yeah. And she said, well, and she was being sarcastic when she asked me this. She said, have you heard of this thing called Purpose on Tap? I was like, yes. And she said, were you scared of failure when y'all launched it? And I said, yes. And she said, all right, then that's a bullshit excuse. Come back to me when you have a better one.
All right, because we got to back up. So Purpose on Tap, describe that real quickly, because some of our listeners may not understand what Purpose on Tap is. Go ahead, you explain it.
Yeah, no, so it's actually really exciting. So how it spawned was starting in 2010, me and some buddies formed a small group, and it started very casual. At the time, one of our friends who was a teaching pastor at Peachtree Prez had said, hey, let's have beers and like maybe talk about our faith. Maybe.
So beers and Bible and boys. Beer, Bible, yeah. And boys. Something like that.
And yeah, and so it evolved, and we got up to about 10 guys, and people kept wanting to join. We were all in our late 20s, early 30s at the time. And the weird thing is we had to start telling guys no.
Yeah.
Because then it would no longer be a small group. If we kept saying yes, it'd have been 20 people, and now the guy that was getting ready to share about this thing he's going through with his wife or his career, he's no longer going to share that because there's this new guy.
Yeah, there's 50 people.
Right. So we capped it. And so a few guys started another one, and we called it the Heathen Hour.
Did you say the Heathen Hour?
The Heathen Hour.
Okay.
So until somebody said something to
that's
me
pretty good
ago.
Only 1 hour tab it's
yeah
one
I try
hour.
To squeeze in an hour of that every week.
Kind of had a heathen day. All right, keep going.
So they another group of guys started the same thing, and after a few years, same thing happened. They're like, well, crap, if we add more people, it's no longer a small group. And one of the guys, a friend that I've known kind of my whole life, Clayton Edwards, he reached out and was like, hey, let's talk about what can we do to scale this? Mm. How can we offer this type of environment to the masses without tainting what we have done?
Right.
And so we explored that for about 6 months in my basement, drinking homebrew, which is where, all good ideas come. And that's when we came up with Purpose on Tap, and how we came up with what our structure was. We went to every single men's group that we could find in the city of Atlanta and picked the best attributes out of all of those, from timing, location, communication, how you communicate, email reminders, calendar reminders, all that stuff, text messages versus emails. And what
the
we came
real
up
process.
With, yeah. Yeah. No, we were very methodical. Like, hey, if this is going to be successful, we're a bunch of type A guys. We don't want to start something that's going to fail.
Yeah. Right.
And so we put all that together. We were blessed with some funding to get us started. We're all guys that have full-time jobs. There's no salaries involved. It's just rental of the space and paying for the beer. We also don't pay our speakers.
Where you have this is at a brewery in Atlanta called Monday Night Brewery, which is why you call it Purpose on Tap. And so you go to the brewery, which is a really cool brewery, got a really cool space. They're serving beer, which yep. I realized, yeah, because you gave us a chip or something, right, to be able to get the beer. And you guys pay for that?
Yep, each person gets 2 free beers.
Nice.
Yeah, and so what we did was we thought, well, what if we charge like $5 to get in? Well, that's $5 isn't really much money to anybody that would be coming to this. But that's an excuse. That's a barrier of entry. Oh, I don't have $5 cash, or I don't want to go do that. So, and for our budget, what does $5 matter? Nothing.
Right.
So we said it will always be free.
That's cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you got people that support it.
Yep. Yep. So we launched actually the day after the Falcons lost the Super Bowl.
That was a good time to launch. Actually, a lot of prayer.
We need a beer and prayer.
And it was funny because we've been talking all fall about that's the day after the Super Bowl. What if the Falcons go to the Super Bowl? And all of us being from Atlanta, we're like, well, we don't really need to worry about that. And then
we're brainstorming here. I think that's a stupid idea, but we are brainstorming. Right. Okay. All right.
And it turns out we went, and everyone knows the outcome. But we had about 70 guys show up the first time, and that's what we.
Oh, that was the first one.
First one, Steve Cesare spoke, and we called that our soft launch. And what we realized afterwards was 70 people isn't really a soft launch. And it gained a lot of momentum. And at the time, so we've been around 7 years now. Up until this winter, we were meeting 10 times a year. So once a month, except July and January. And so we've had over 65, something like that, events at Monday Night Brewery.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's been great. And how what we did was we had that base donation, but we're like, we want guys bought in, right? Yeah. And so what we did was we came up with a term. We called it the Pot Club. Mm-hmm. And if you donated $100 a month, we gave you a really slick golf shirt with our logo on the arm. Mm. And we joked that it was the $1,200 golf shirt that everybody wants.
I like that, because if it was only like $700 golf shirt, nobody would really care. But you're right, a $1,200 golf shirt's worth something.
Yeah.
I love it. I want a golf shirt. I didn't know about this.
Well, Tom, you give me $100 a month. And
I will give you. I will give you $100. All right, sold. Mm-hmm. So now bringing us all back. So this is the backstory. So you've developed this cool, kind of a entrepreneur, ministry entrepreneur. Started this ministry. Got these people coming. You've got these well known speakers, because I've been to a couple of them, and not only Foxworthy, I've got the guy that spoke from Chick-fil-A. Some executive from Chick-fil-A spoke. I know you've got some governor to be, a potential governor. I don't think that guy, I don't remember who that was.
No, he didn't win.
But anyway, so Foxworthy is world famous, right? So you're getting these people. So your SVP, your boss says, why aren't you in sales?
Yep.
And so pick it up from there. So what was
funny, because it was probably around the same time. Well, no, that would have been about 8 months. No, it would have been around the same time that I just met you, Tom, because it was a few months after Foxworthy had first spoke. And when you had heard Foxworthy speak a month or two before he spoke at Purpose on Tap, I believe it was at Buckhead Church, and he challenged the congregation. Yeah. He said, hey, I go to the Atlanta Mission every morning for the past 10 years, every Tuesday morning for the past 10 years. I bring Chick-fil-A biscuits, and I challenge you to come.
Yeah, that's exactly where I heard about it. I heard about it at North Point. And Andy Stanley was interviewing Foxworthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then it turned out, I looked it up. That's what happened. I looked it up online, and a friend of mine was on the board. And I'm like, I'd just been in a small group with the guy that was on the board. I'm like, I'm calling that guy. And so then that just led to me showing up and seeing you a month later.
Well, and that was the same thing. He had said the same thing that he said with Andy Stanley. He'd said it at Purpose on Tap, like, hey, I challenge you guys to do this.
Yeah.
And as a gift to him, when he spoke the first time, we've got him this, life-size check that was for, we got, forget the specific numbers. It was like 800 pairs of socks and towels to donate to the Atlanta Mission, which I'm not a big Walmart guy, but Walmart gave it to me at their cost because I told them what this was going for. And that was because Foxworthy said that the items that they need the most are towels and socks.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And so I took him up on his challenge and I started to go at the beginning of the new year.
So that's what brought you there because he spoke in that. Okay. I love it.
Yeah. And then I met you and you know, a few other guys, and it just kind of became something that was, it became really important to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember on Tuesdays driving home and thinking to myself, man, I was arguing with my wife yesterday about X, and this guy's been living under overpasses for the past 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, and has been using his shoe as his pillow. I've got a roof over my head. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It very gives you a lot of perspective on how you talk to people, how you treat people.
Mm-hmm.
And it led me to meeting you, which is,
That's life changing, caller. Life changing.
Yes. It really was. I mean, and this is relevant to the topic. I mean, I feel like God's created us all to serve. We have these unique talents, right? He's created us, and that's what we're wired to do. And doing things like that, where it doesn't have to be to the homeless, it could be anybody that comes, that you rub shoulders with or intersect with. Your life intersects with theirs. But we're wired, like, and that's why I remember going Tuesday morning and going, this is what life is. And it's not because I'm better than it's, I'm not. What was interesting about, I remember learning this about the homeless is when Foxworthy would lead them through a discussion and he would say, what do you want? But Tab, this was really interesting. What do you want? I expected them to say a house. Mm-hmm. I expected them to say money. I expected them to say job. They didn't. They said the same things I say. They all wanted the same thing. They wanted relationships. They wanted meaning. They wanted connection. They wanted purpose. I mean, it was just, it's like, we're all the same, it's like, I just happened to have some resources and time to give. And they were there for whatever reason they were there. But so that what I found, I loved about your story is and meeting you is that you're actually doing something.
Yeah.
Like you're taking time. And what's cool is you're doing something, right? You've started Purpose on Tap. You're investing time, Atlanta Mission, and you're the number one salesperson for your company. So it's obviously the time invested there doesn't keep you from being successful in sales. And it actually, could you argue, makes you more successful in sales?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Well, let's talk. We'll come back to the ministry thing in a minute. Let's just shift to selling. So you have this interesting path to selling, which I find to be a consistent truth about the people that are really successful. They don't come into the role as I'm here to sell something. Right. I want to sell something. And I want to earn commission. Yes, there are definitely people who are successful that have that mindset. But the idea that you came from, I'm an expert with the product and I don't think of myself as a salesperson, which a lot of times when people think of themselves as a salesperson, it's about manipulation. I don't like to manipulate. I don't like to persuade. I don't like to talk people out of their money. I'm not associated. But you come in with like, I don't have that mindset. I come in with a different mindset. So how did that help you? That path to selling, did that help you? And what can you share that other people can walk away with that may help them?
Yeah. So I hadn't, like you said, I mean, I had never thought about being in sales.
Yeah.
And when my boss had said, hey, you need to come up with a better excuse, I went to those guys in my small group that I've mentioned and asked each of them. And out of the 10 guys, I think there was 8 of them that their same response was, I thought you were already in sales.
Yeah, right. What do you mean you're not in sales? I thought that's what you did. That's so good.
Wait, you're
what?
It's like, no, I'm not.
I sit over there. Remember all the product guys?
Yeah, I'm in library.
When I met you, I thought you were in sales. You probably weren't. Yeah.
But so I think where how it helped me was A, being able to answer most technical questions in a sales cycle and not have to rely on my sales engineer, which just gave me more confidence.
Yeah.
You were an expert.
Yes. And just coming in with the mindset of, hey, all I have to do is prove that I can do this. Yeah. And that my boss at the time had said, hey, I'm not going to fire you if you're not performing and you're following our process. If you're not performing and following our process, then we need to do something with the process because you should be able to be successful here.
Wow. Yeah. That's something awesome. Every leader should write down.
Right.
That is a great way to think about it. If you, you know, people are perfectly trained to follow your process. If you don't have a process, right. You know, then they're not going to follow it. Right. So, but the fact that you do what we tell you to do, you'll be successful. That should be true.
And I love the confidence. I mean, that's just the way you should be. You know, if you do what I tell you to do, if I figured this thing out, Calder, just do this process and you're going to be fine. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It took me probably a year and a half to hit my stride.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing, and hey, my boss could have been lying to me, but knowing, thinking in the back of my mind, well, hey, as long as I bust my back every day, every week, and follow what they're telling me to do, my job is safe.
Yeah.
Now, why did you believe her?
Why did I believe my boss?
Mm-hmm. When they said, you said, you know, they may have been lying, but you obviously, I don't know if it's a he or she.
This was a he. And okay.
Your other boss was a she.
Right? Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. I don't know, because they're the VP of my company and I'm new to this thing, and call it, maybe I was naive, but he said that and I took his word for it.
Okay. I just didn't know if there was something about that person that you know, you're like, okay, that.
That boss actually ended up coming to the Atlanta Mission two separate times.
I met him.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
A sharp guy.
Very sharp. The first time we got out of the truck and he said, hey, so what are we doing? We serving breakfast. You know, what's the deal here? And I said, no, actually, it's a Bible study. And he said, oh, okay. Well, does it matter if I'm Jewish? And I was like, no.
No.
I felt like an idiot.
I felt like an idiot. Yeah. But once I got after over that, then.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Another thing I forgot that I loved about you, Calder, he brought his boss to Atlanta Mission. I'm like, what? And the guy had no clue. I remember meeting him. He had no clue why he was there. Like, now why are you here? You're like, I don't know. Calder asked him.
I don't know. Calder told me to come.
Brought you to, it is, hey, it's our first sales call.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Know
the process, follow the process, be an expert. What in anything about the way that you interacted with the customer in a non-traditional way that you found helpful because you didn't have that sort of sales mentality?
Yeah. So I think something that helped there was being new, because I had a handful of colleagues that had been doing it for a long time. And when they weren't finding success, they would blame it on the product, blame it on the company, and they'd leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, would tell myself, like, well, I can't leave. I'm brand new at this thing. No one's going to take me.
Yeah,
and I like
the
company.
Mm-hmm.
but so I had a different, call it mindset, approaching people. And think of it as, you know, Tom, how we would walk in to that room or walk into the doors of the mission. You know, your guard is down. You want to help somebody. And something I learned from a guy that I worked with when I worked at Caterpillar back in Montana was, he would say, he was a really successful sales guy, and he said, he's like, you know, it's amazing what you can learn when you ask the customer how they're doing and then you shut up.
It's good advice.
Yeah
Just listen. Yeah, he's like, God gave you two ears and one mouth, why don't you use your two ears first?
Yeah. How are you doing? You know, I think it's harder back to you, what you were saying about the reps with experience. The more experience I have, the harder it is for me to do that.
Yeah.
Because you have so much information, so much knowledge about their world. You make assumptions. It's easy to make assumptions. I forget those days when I really didn't know what they needed and I kind of wanted to get to know them and I had time and I was new and I was so fascinated by anything they had to share. And the longer I'm in the business, the less fascinated I am about how they are doing. But it's critical.
It is. I find myself now, 10 minutes into a sales call thinking to myself, crap, are they going to buy from me? Are they going to buy this quarter?
Yeah.
All that stuff. And it's horrible. And that's how you can, in your own mind, quickly ruin a deal.
Yeah. You learned you your mindset was like when you walk into a room, it's like, I have no agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to know them in whatever way they want to reveal that. I want to help them. I'm not there to sell you. We're here to explore how we potentially could help each other. No pressure. You don't seem like a guy that puts a lot of pressure on people.
I don't. And I feel like that helps because I want them to be able to comfortably make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you're pressing them and, hey, we got this approval. You have to do it by the end of the month or it's going to leave. I didn't find that working very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It feels better, but it doesn't work.
Right. It's like telling your wife what you're really thinking. It may feel better for a second.
But... Honey, do you really want to know my opinion? Yeah. Yes, I do. No, you don't. I'm sorry. I know you don't.
I think I understand that. I get it.
So, Tom, something the CEO of Monday Night Brewery spoke at Purpose on Tap two years ago. And something that he shared outside of going to Harvard, because, the only way that somebody went to Harvard is because they tell you they went to Harvard.
People definitely don't know that about me.
Yeah. I went to the Harvard of the South, Ole Miss.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the Rebels.
SAE, I bet.
No, but close. And what he said was that he was, that they did a different approach at the brewery for their employees when they were having one-on-ones with them. And he would ask them, not, the generic, hey, how are you? But he would ask, hey, where are you coming from today?
Mm.
And kind of the same question, but you're going to get a different answer. And what he learned was, hey, if I'm going into this meeting and I've got to reset expectations with this person, we need to course correct what they're doing, how they're doing it. But then they come in and tell me that, their neighbor died or their mom is sick or, whatever it is. Hey, my spouse just lost their job. Whatever life had happened to them that he would not have known. He said, now knowing that that person's mother just had a stroke, I'm going to change my whole tone in this conversation and maybe pivot and revisit that topic later with them, because right now their mother just had a stroke. They don't need to hear me telling them they're doing their job wrong.
Right.
And so I've tried to bring that
into
my sales calls of asking people how you're doing, where you're coming from today. Because if somebody says, I just got my butt chewed out by my boss, I'm probably going to approach it a little differently, have a little more empathy in the dialogue.
Yeah. And if they give you that sort of I don't want to talk about it answer, this is a task, or this is a person in task mode. Let's get it done. You can be versatile. Is there anything you do, Calder, before you walk into the room metaphorically that gets you in that mindset? Like, how do you remember to do that? Is there anything you kind of,
it's just become a habit.
Okay. So it's a habit now. You just know to do it.
It's call it my recipe for success. Hey, this works for me. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to close the deal, but you're going to get good traction with them. I'm learning now. I've been in the role 4.5 years. There's a lot of long games. I'm finalizing a transaction right now with a guy who did not buy from me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But he came back. He said, well, actually, your competition, they're not doing everything they said they could do.
Yeah.
And I want to evaluate you now.
Yeah. I love that long game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels great. Yeah. It'll feel better when the DocuSign is completed, but it feels great.
Yeah.
But if you keep doing that, you just kind of do your process. It's what you talked about before. You trust the process, right? Just keep showing up, doing your thing that you know works over time, and it'll pay off.
Yeah. And here's, you guys will love this. I did not love this. Last fall, I went 104 days without closing any transactions.
Wow.
And I couldn't sleep at night. It was horrible. I was very worried for my job. It says, you know, last fall, it's kind of starting the tech layoffs. And while I had had a successful track record in years prior, it was not trending well. And the first day of Q4, I was at 42% of plan. And I called my boss, my VP, and I was like, hey, I'm really, really worried here. I don't know what's going on. Like, do I have commission breath coming through the computer?
Yeah, right.
Like, what am I doing? And he said, Calder, just everybody has ebbs and flows. Stick to your process. Just continue to do what you're doing. And that was the first week of November. The second week of November, it started on my birthday. And I got one deal closed that kind of came out of nowhere. Another one, somebody just reached out to me and said, a customer was like, hey, can you send me this order form? And from there, I did 496K in 3 months, which was about half my number. But I did all of that in Q4, but I'd put up a goose egg in Q3.
Wow.
And it has reminded me, as I reflect upon it now, it has reminded me that, hey, while that was not the way that I had drawn it up last February, I still got there. And it wasn't the sexiest way. I would have been much more comfortable over the summer had it been, you know, consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing that, hey, it's four quarters. It's like it's like the Falcons losing the Super Bowl. It's four quarters.
Yeah.
You know, in that last part of the fourth quarter, you can win it or lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also important as to why we got to constantly build our pipeline, because, you know, it's a long game. It's a long game. And we work harder in the beginning, right? And then we work smarter.
Yep.
And if we continue to do that, follow the process and make those investments and get better, it gets easy.
Yeah.
I think the reps to me that consistently are unsuccessful, because I believe that everybody can be successful in sales if they'll just do the work. Like, you're going to get above the line if you just do the work. And then there's the level where you just crush it, right? And that's about doing the work and being very competent at what you do. But if you just follow the process, a lot of people want to, I think in sales, are looking for the magic. Like, I want to go work for a company that has the magic product and the magic thing. And if we don't hit that, if I'm not successful, then it's the company's fault. And that merry-go-round's going to end. There's, you know, the music stops. There's not enough chairs. And at the end of the day, the people that are good at what they do and follow the process and stick to it over the time, it gets pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's much easier now than it was to me 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can I, Calder, is there anything, there may not be an answer to this, but is there any challenge that you're focused on working through now? You know, I mean, obviously you've had tons of success, but you sound like the kind of guy that's always striving to improve and make yourself better. I mean, anything you're focused on?
Inside of work, outside of work, or both?
Really, either, both. I mean, either one.
So inside work, you know, the lame answer is achieving quota.
Okay.
Now, I did put a little bit of metrics on that this year and said I want to achieve quota before Christmas. And our fiscal year doesn't end until the end of January.
Okay.
So I'm saying, tell myself I want to hit it 1 month in advance.
Right.
To be able to have a less
enjoy
stressful.
Holidays.
That's right.
Yeah. Everything's gravy above that. You just, yep.
Right.
Funny that you say that. That's funny that you say that.
And then personally, actually, we talked about this at small group last week. So Purpose on Tap, been doing it. We've been doing it for 7 years since we started talking about it, 8 years. We have been working intentionally to replace ourselves. We were all in a different phase of life. None of us had kids. We were all in our early 30s. And now I have my second kid due in a month, and all the other guys have at least three kids, and we just don't have that margin anymore, after work, in between work, whatever. So a goal is identifying a successful replacement and kind of onboarding them. And then obviously, you know, I won't get to sleep this summer with a 2.5-year-old and a newborn. So my goal is, once I can come up for air, call it end of summer, really start trying to figure out, personally, like, what's the next thing I'm going to do?
Yeah, no, that's good. I think I got it. You may want to write this down. Purpose while I potty train. I think that's going to, that's a whole nother, you know, it's kind of the next phase. You know, we did
that's
purpose
right.
on tap. I don't know. I'm just brainstorming. I'm a brainstormer. Like, that's what I do. I'm an idea man.
I love it. I think it's a great idea.
I mean, can
that
you imagine?
That is your purpose. No, your purpose is to potty train. I mean,
yes, exactly.
I love that. Toward that end of like hitting your number earlier, which I love that, because I thought of the reason I laughed because I thought about that last week sometime. I'm like, I want to go into the holidays feeling like the following.
That's right.
I really visualize that. Like kind of get ahead of that and go, what do I have to be doing now to where I'm celebrating? Right. I'm celebrating during Christmas, and I don't have the Christmas I had last year, which was, we had a good year, but it was like insane. Like, oh, yeah.
We were diving across the line going,
yeah,
there's
all kinds of things happening. I don't even remember.
If Christmas, this doesn't pull and this doesn't go at the right time. And you know, it's like, you're going, please, Lord.
Yeah. How do I get ahead of that and do the work now? Because it's going, yeah, you have to sow before you reap, as they say, but sticking with the Bible there. One of the things I do along those lines that I think in talking to you previously that you're really good at is you're tenacious about being strategic. Like you really are focused on doing the things you need to do, and you're good at that. Which I think a lot of sellers struggle with that, because I think people that gravitate to sales gravitate to freedom and lack of structure. Right. They like to flex and they like to be able to move around. They don't want to be in a process driven, structured right. world. So how is that serving you? Is that true? And if so, how do you do it? And what would you want to share about being strategic as a seller?
So I do a lot of reading on trying to figure out, how can I be better at this? How can I be more effective with my time? Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that, every time you say no to something, it provides that you're not fully in. It provides you the opportunity to be able to say yes to something, the next thing that comes along that you are fully in for. And a few things that I've been doing recently has been time boxing. So I'll have a list of, hey, these are the 10 things I have to do, and I have 60 minutes to do them. Mm. And just no excuses. These have to be done.
Yeah, I've heard about this. This is a thing.
Yeah.
People are signing up to do this. Yeah.
There's apps and, you know, there's all sorts of stuff on the internet to do that. But I just did it. I just do it in a spreadsheet and put it up on the screen and put my timer on my phone. And
you give yourself an hour, and it's like, and at the end of the hour, I'm over. And then I go back to whatever it is.
I'm not responding to emails. I'm not responding to Slack. Obviously I'm in sales and my phone rings, I pick it up. But other than that, you know, mm-hmm. I've got this thing to do. And then something I started to do a few weeks ago that I'd read about was, it's called the scary hour. Mm-hmm. And what you do, the goal is to have four of them a week. So you get one day off during the work week. Mm-hmm. And that hour, you do everything that you don't want to do. Preferably it's in the morning, but all the stuff that you're dreading to do, you do it then. And so like when I did it on, I started on Sunday this week, and I did my expense report. I hate doing my expense report. And we had just come from SKO. And so I had a boatload of receipts, and dinners and all that stuff. And I was like, hey, this is what I'm gonna do in my scary hour today.
So good. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I even have, look, I got, you know, on my notepad, it's titled scary list or scary hour.
I love it.
And it's basically everything I've been procrastinating over the past few weeks or months.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah. That's the writing for me is part of that scary hour. Like I gotta do, because it's so easy to do the things that are pressing. Like you have to do this right now because it's, you know, it's on fire. Something's on fire, which keeps you from doing the things that you need to do that build your business long-term because this is on fire. So you're supposed to put it out. It's so hard to let
That's
it
right. So like this morning I had a scary hour blocked off on my calendar and, two different people had, you know, I've been working towards these for a while. The two different people, we came to an agreement and they're like, all right, cool. Can you send me over the DocuSign? I was like, well, I think I'm going to sending out order forms takes over the scary hour, you know? And so I didn't get to do that. So now I got to figure out this afternoon, this evening, this weekend, sometime to do that because I chose selfishly, I want to get these contracts signed.
Yeah, right. But then you can you can reschedule your scary hour.
Yes, it's flexible.
It's a flexible scary time.
The point is just having four.
Yep.
Spread it out through the week, have four. Beautiful. Yep. Any other top of mind important advice? If you had to say just one thing, like, hey, if you just do this one thing, and I'm new in sales, I'm sitting across the table from you or having lunch and I would go, like, man, what's the one thing? Like, what's the one thing?
Listening to your prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one would be you gotta block your calendar off. You gotta reserve your calendar. Otherwise, you're not going to get the stuff done that, hey, on Monday morning, I said I was going to do all this week, but then emails come in and Slack messages come in and some colleague wants to vent about something that's going on in their life. And you don't get it done. And what I've done, and this, I'm on a new team now. We went through a corporate hygiene exercise at the beginning of February.
Yeah.
And so now I'm on a new team, new colleagues, new boss. And they all live in California, or at least they're all West Coast. And they just love to like start hitting me up at 2-3 in the afternoon, their time on a Friday. And I'm like, guys, it's 5 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock, whatever it is. Like I've already put in my 50 or 60 hours this week. I just quit haggling me. Yeah. And now it's kind of turned into a joke. They're like, oh, well, Calder doesn't like to do meetings on Friday afternoons. And that's true, but there's a few things I'll say about that. One is I have found that the best time to be able to connect with an eco buyer is Friday afternoon. Typically, your eco buyer is going to be an executive.
Economic buyer, right? Economic buyer.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Typically, they're going to be an executive, and typically, they are available on Friday afternoons. And if I have my calendar blocked off after 1 p.m., I'm able to tell somebody, hey, what time works for you? I will call you then.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, hey, these are the times that work for me. You tell me what works for you, I'm going to call you then.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to close out the week. And it's just been very successful. Another thing I'll say on that is this took 2 years to learn. We don't do demos on Fridays, or I won't do a demo on Friday after lunch. And I've caught some heat for that internally. Somebody, you know, they're in the buying cycle. You need to accommodate to that. And my first argument would be, well, what did I just say? Like, you have to reserve your calendar. Otherwise, you're not going to get the stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing was what I realized was now I'm working. I'm not sending that recap email out till 7 o'clock on Friday night. Guess who's not reading a recap email at 7 o'clock on a Friday night?
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And so it just turned into a poor use of time. You know, if I ask you, hey, Tab, when are you most checked out during the week?
Yeah.
Probably Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon. I'm on my way out the door. It's all shut down. You're getting it wrapped up. Yep.
That's right. So why do we want, you know, something, if we need 90 minutes of their focus and attention, why use that time of the week?
Mm-hmm.
So small things like that have just helped me be more efficient with my time. And I know, hey, if I can't talk to them on Friday afternoon, but I can talk to them on Monday, they're not buying anything over the weekend. I only get, you know, my commission checks quarterly. I don't care if they buy today or next week, as long as it's by the end of the quarter.
Right. Yep.
Great wisdom there, Calder. I want to double click on one thing and then we'll wrap it up. I think people might just gloss over your number one thing that you mentioned is listening. It's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, listen
like
to your prospect.
Everybody wants like some magic thing that you can do. But really, selling kind of comes down to some really basic things. And I remember Randy Reimersma is senior vice president from what was his? I forgot his company, Tab.
MindTech?
MuleSoft.
He
said selling
that's
is
my direct competitor.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah.
One of your big competitors. Okay, well, we'll delete that podcast. but he said it's about doing a few things really well. It's like, that's one of the things that drew me to you instantly. Of all the people in the room and all the people I met, I'm like, you actually were present. Like, you seem to listen. We think that's not a big deal. We think about what do we need to say and how do we validate a recommendation and all the cool stuff and sexy stuff that we talk about in sales. But like, just the basics of like, hey, when the other person talks, do you give a damn? Because if you don't, then what are you saying? You're like, I don't really care about you, so buy from me. I don't care about you. What you have to say is not worth me listening to. So just, you know, so now you're, I mean, because I think a lot of times I like to say in Tabs, when you say this story, we're not just selling a solution, we're selling a dopamine hit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actually listen to people and like care what they think, like they're like, wow, like this feels really good. I want to return your phone call. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm receptive to you. I wanted you to win. I mean, I think of the times I've worked with really great salespeople, I'm like, I don't even know what they sell. I just want to work with them. Like, I'm finding myself rooting for them. And I'm like, I move from what do you offer and how much is it to, I want to, how can I figure out how to buy from you? Because sometimes we don't have enough time to figure out who's got the best solution. We base our decision on emotion.
Yeah. So listening, buying's totally, it's a total emotion.
Yeah.
They buy, people buy from people. They don't buy from websites unless it's,
or if they do, they're not talking to you and you're not going to have a shot anyway.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Where we come into play as a salesperson is selling something complex that needs a salesperson or an expert to explain it or to help them buy. If they don't need our help, they're going to buy it online.
I have a job.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That's why we're needed. So if we're not doing the things that require our expertise, then we're out.
That's right.
Brilliant. Tab, any other last final thoughts or questions?
No, this was great. It's good to meet you. I mean, it's
likewise.
I love what you're doing. I love the thing, you know, just on both sides. I love that you have, it's so cool that you have another purpose, you know, that's bigger than, I think we all need it. Something that's bigger than, so it's about others that drives us as we kind of, the older we get, I think more and more important it becomes.
That's right.
So it's awesome. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Very inspirational for me, Calder, to see what you're doing.
And I got to check it out at some point, Tom. We're going to have to make that happen.
Our next time Calder allows an old guy to come. Is there, by the way, any requirements?
You have to be a male.
But there's no age requirements. Yes. It's not for, no. Okay. No, okay.
Yeah.
You have to be
a male. So funny. We
or identify
started,
as a male. You have to identify.
You have
as
to
male.
Identify. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We started with, we thought, hey, our target market or our target demographic is going to be guys that are 25 to 35. Yeah. And what we quickly learned within the first year was people, our fathers and our parents' age in their late 60s, early 70s, they loved it.
And it's
funny because, you know, there'll be a 25-year-old sitting next to a 75-year-old and they both are getting something from that. The 25-year-old is thinking, I'm going to get some wisdom from this guy because he's been through it before. And what the older guy is getting out of is, hey, I've got all this life knowledge and wisdom, and I'd love to share it with somebody who could benefit from it because I've made the mistakes before.
Yeah, that's it.
That's great. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, so the next time, next one in tab, coming next to the Purpose on Tap, coming to town.
Let's do it.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Sales with Adlin Calder. Thanks, my friend, for joining us. Hope
thanks for the invite.